Welcome back to the Victory Podcast. I'm your host, Steve McGrath. And in this episode, I'm pleased to bring you the big general, Daryl Williams, that guy that was a captain at Hale State, just wrapping up his senior year. He just played in the Shriners Bowl and he's getting ready to go pro. So he's getting himself ready for the combine, the draft, and everything ahead of him. So he's going to talk about his journey to get to Mississippi State, what it took to become a captain, and what he's looking forward to. Now, before we let Daryl tell his story, I need to remind you all that we are brought to you by Team Builder. And Team Builder works with over 500 high school football programs nationwide, as well as colleges and the NFL. So if you're looking for more information about how to structure your weightlifting routine, go to teambuilder.com, use the promo code VICTORY, and you're going to get a free gift. And if you haven't already, go ahead and hit subscribe, give us a review, give us some feedback and some love. Now, without any further ado, here's my conversation with Daryl. All right, on the line, I am pleased to be joined by the big general, Daryl Williams. Daryl, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. I can't complain. I mean, it's been an awesome ride here. I mean, I'm just enjoying the process.
Well, thanks so much for taking a pause in the process to jump on with me and just talk about what the last few years have been like for you, because you're in what I'd imagine to be one of the coolest times of anyone's life, where they just wrap up college and you have this big lead up going up, leading to the NFL draft. So, again, thanks for taking the time. I need to pick your brain about a couple of things here, because again, this is such a cool time. But what makes it even more interesting to me is you took the time to pen a letter called One Heck of a Ride. It went up on HaleState.com. How much time did you put into trying to sit down and put all of your emotions into words? How does one sum up 5 years in one essay?
Oh, man, I got a great me and my media team, we sat down and talked about it. I mean, I think I got one of the great media teams in Mississippi State. They did an excellent job helping me write my letter as well. But it took a lot of time, knowing that I had to really dig deep into my heart, knowing that I love Mississippi State, all the things that they did for me, not just me, but for my family. I mean, I enjoyed every second of it. And I can't wait to see how those guys do this upcoming year. So.
Yeah. But some of the key things in there that I really wanted to ask you about is, you know, that show up and show out line, and also, you know, make the mamas worry. You know, what between the two of them, which one is your favorite saying?
Oh, man, the crazy part about it, I think, is the one by my uncle, because that's the one that really dug deep into my heart. I mean, he's always called me every Saturday morning, or not just before Saturday, but Friday morning, to tell me that, I mean, it's time to show up and show out. I mean, it's showtime. I mean, leave it all out on the field. Don't give up. I mean, continue to work your tail off. I mean, that's something that I took from him once he passed. I mean, I think he's going to continue to ride with me once I continue my career out.
Yeah, well, I think it's paid dividends so far, right, with what you've been able to do at Mississippi State. And, you know, one thing that you do in your letter is you give so much credit to the culture there, you know, just from literally every aspect you talk about. How do they have such a great culture? I mean, what is it about them? Like, what do you put your finger on to say, like, man, this is what they're doing that makes them so special?
Oh, man, Mississippi State, I mean, you're talking about a program that is all about family. I mean, I enjoyed each and every day. I enjoyed my 5 years there. I mean, they showed me how to become not only a person, but become a young man on and off the field. I mean, I believe when you go to Mississippi State, I mean, you feel the family atmosphere each and every part of the campus. I mean, from the football complex to the academics to the drill field where all our classes are. I think they do an excellent job of just being family oriented, not only the coaches and the tutors, but the teachers as well and the professors. So.
That's awesome. Now, you talk about that family culture and that family atmosphere. How surprised were you that Coach Moorhead was let go after the season?
Oh, man, it was surprising. I mean, he did a heck of a job with us. I mean, I think Mississippi State they wanted to go in another direction. I mean, I don't have any say so on that. I mean, I feel like the administrator did an excellent job of hiring another guy, Mike Leach. I mean, but me and Komori, we got a great relationship. I told my wish him the best at Oregon. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what Mike Leach can do for Mississippi State.
Yeah. It's just one of those. It's tough, right? When business can kind of override some of the personal relationships, and when you don't have a say in things, right? You kind of feel like you kind of just have to go with it. But what was the sense in the locker room with the guys that, of course, are going to be playing there next year about losing coach?
I mean, nothing's changed. I mean, I told those guys when one left, I mean, I said, continue to work your tail off. I mean, the program don't stop for no one. I mean, you continue to go out and compete at a high level each and every Saturday, not only Saturday, but like I said, it's four phases of this football thing. It's spring ball, summer conditioning, winter. You got to get all those four first, and then you get into fall camp, then you get into Saturday. So I think, like I told you, I competed at high level each and every day from start to finish, and can't wait to see how those guys fare in the upcoming year.
Yeah, but hey, not for nothing. With what you were doing as a run blocker, I think this happened at the right time for you because I think Coach Leach is going to throw the ball once or twice.
Well, definitely. I mean, I think I was an excellent run blocker. I mean, that's something that I love and I enjoy doing, but I enjoy pass blocking too. I only gave up one sack my entire career at Mississippi State. So, I mean, it was a heck of a ride there. So I enjoy each and every day of it.
Yeah. Now, of course, right now, as you mentioned before we jumped on here, you are training at EXO. So can you just tell us a little bit about what life is like right now for you after the Shriners game and what you're doing just to get ready?
Oh, man, life is great. I mean, after the Shriners game, I came back here. I mean, continue to work with my PT trainers, Lizette, and those guys to make sure I can be able to bend more, move flexibility. Working with Coach Anthony, our 40 time and our speed guy. Make sure I had the right technique come when it comes to my 40, not only my 40, but my other drill as well. My strength coach and Coach Anthony, me and Coach Brent, done an excellent job making sure I have 225. I'll be able to pump it as many times as I can. I mean, I think they're doing an excellent job. So I'm enjoying the process. I won't sit here and tell you a lot that I'm not enjoying this process and trying to compete at a high level each and every day I go out there to work my tail off to compete at a high level to be one of the elites in this league.
That's great. Enjoying it is such a big part of it, right? You know, you're not going to dread the next day. I wanted to ask, like, because obviously I don't know anything about this. How does one find all these different particular coaches? Like, how do you find these programs to get you ready? Is it just sort of you're leaning on what guys, you know, before you at Mississippi State have done?
It's some part of it, but it also, I go do my research. Me and my mom did our research. We sit there and look at the facilities. But I also talked to my former guys, Elton Jenkins, Deion Calhoun, Gary, those guys, Montez Sweat, those guys at EXO's were one of the best. You know, I looked into it, I seen the different locations. I chose Pensacola because I didn't want to be in the EXO's where it was a Houston where all the glamour and all that. I want to be somewhere where it was quiet. I can be locked in, focused, and continue to be competing at a high level. So,
got it. And before you know, I really jump into how you end up at Hale State. You mentioned your mom, you did research with her, and going back to the letter you wrote, it seemed like she was just such a big part of you.
Most definitely. Mom had been the key to my
success. I just want to take a second to give mom some love. So can you just talk a little bit about, you know, the influence that she's had on you and, you know, what she's meant to you throughout this entire process?
Most definitely. Man, mom, I mean, if you want to talk about mom, she's been my workhorse. I mean, a woman that has worked her tail off her entire life. I mean, she's the reason who I am today. I think that's where I get my work ethic from. I mean, I seen her work her tail off, and now knowing me, I'm trying to work my tail off to make sure she don't have to work her tail off anymore. But she's a woman. I mean, she's a great woman. I mean, a woman that love her kids, do anything for her kids. I mean, I think the reason that I work so hard is because of her. I mean, she always tell me to never give up. I mean, it was one point in time in college where when it was to the point, I was like, man, I don't know. I want to be here. Like, I think I want to be here. She called me the next day. I had texted her that. She called me the next day and said, get your mind right because you're going to be there for the next 45 years and pretend to be at our level. So I think she's been a big influence on my life. I mean, I love that woman. She knows it, and I just can't contend. I can't wait to pay her back all the things she did for me for the last 22 years. I don't think it's going to be I really don't think I can pay her back for all that she has done, but sooner or later, I'm going to give her something that she needs and she will enjoy. So I thank her every day.
I can't wait to see it all come together for you. It's going to be an awesome moment when you can. Well, you know, you grew up, but from what I can see anyway, in Bessemer, Alabama.
Most definitely.
Can you lay the stage for everyone? You know, what was it like for you in high school? Because you were a pretty highly touted, you know, offensive line prospect. You know, maybe not the very top of the top, but like I'm sure you had a couple of options. So how do you go from Alabama, where I'm sure, you know, you had Auburn and other teams in the mix, to ultimately go into Hale State?
I had off from Auburn. I did have off from Alabama. I mean, they were considering me, but I had off from Auburn, Kentucky, Florida State. I had a lot of big schools that offered me this chance to play, but I chose Mississippi State because of the culture. I mean, Coach Muller and Coach John Hibbs, I mean, I knew Coach John Hibbs, he was going to teach me the game, not just being a physical offensive lineman, but being a smart offensive lineman as well, teaching me how to read defenses, teaching me how to read safeties, showing me that things of that nature. I mean, I think he does. He did an excellent job with me, and I'm thankful for that. But that's the reason. That's really the reason I chose Mississippi, because of the coaching staff and the culture. So I really enjoyed it. So I really did. I have no regrets to choose Mississippi State. So I'm really thankful for it.
Got it. Now, one thing I noticed, though, in high school is you played everywhere in the offensive line, and that did not really stop when you got to college, right? I mean, you do so well at left guard. You know, you're one of the best, you know, offensive linemen on your team, let alone particularly in the SEC, you're getting noticed for it. What's your mindset when you're heading into your senior year? You've already built this credibility at one position, and you jump over to play center. I mean, how did you approach that position change?
I approach it like I approach everything else. I mean, my mindset was to compete at a high level each and every rep. Don't worry about the little things. I mean, do all the little things right. I mean, do all the little things right, and the bigger things will come. I mean, I sat down with one of my close friends, Elson Jenkins, a guy that taught me to center position. I enjoy, I enjoy him. He's a guy that I talk to on a daily basis, and that guy that's always teaching me how to do career things. Like, I think in this part of the early part of the season, I struggled a little bit, knowing that I had to adjust to being a center. Not just being able to foul the ball and guard each and every rep. But I enjoyed the process. I mean, I think I did an excellent job. Once the season kept rolling, I picked my game, I picked my play up. And it was a great experience knowing that I can be able to control the offense, making ID calls, making the front calls, helping my offensive line be in the right position at the right time to keep our quarterback clean, make sure our running back, Kyler Hill, stay healthy, and Nick Gibson. Like I said, Kyler Hill, I think he was the lead SEC rusher. So I think just making sure those guys in the right place at the right time to make big time plays. I think that's the biggest part that I had to work on in communication. So I enjoyed it. So it really wasn't a problem.
And I was just going to ask, what was the toughest part? But you kind of just alluded to it. So communication for you was sort of the biggest piece that you had to make sure that you were able to attack fully?
Most definitely. I mean, I had to make sure my offensive line group was in, not only my offensive line group, but my running back know who I was IDing, what front call I made, who are we going to, who are we not going to, who he had in pad protection, things of that nature. So it was a challenging thing, but I got used to it and I enjoyed it once I got comfortable with it.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, with all the leadership sort of mindset that you already have and the way that you embrace that position change, it's kind of no wonder why you'd be the captain on the team and viewed as a leader, because it just sort of, it's just a perfect storm, right? Like, not everyone can approach it the way that you did.
Most definitely. I mean, I think it goes back to my sophomore year when Coach Havis told me that I was going to be a great player. I just had to work my tail off. I mean, I was going to be a leader, not just be a vocal leader, but bring guys to the side, make sure guys was accountable, doing the little things right, competing at a high level. Don't take practice for granted. I mean, don't take no reps for granted. I mean, as well. I mean, just being able to just compete at a high level. I mean, I think it's something that I think a lot of people take for granted. I mean, just not competing, doing little things right. But I enjoy this process. I enjoy this game. This game has taught me so much, especially becoming not just a person, but a young man. But I'm just going to continue to rip my tail off each and every day. That's something I'm always do. I mean, I never back down from a challenge, and I just going to compete at a high level.
Absolutely. But when talking about challenges, though, this year you did play LSU. Obviously, they go on to win the national title. Did you have any idea playing them that, like, did you get any sense that, hey, this could legitimately be the best team in the country, or was it more of just another game? I mean, did you just get any sort of feel from them that they had something different going on?
Well, I mean, when you watch the tape, I mean, you've seen it. I mean, they had a lot of good plays. I mean, they had, like I said, I think the offense picked it up tremendously. I mean, I think they had one of the best offenses in all college football. I mean, something that you had a game plan for. I mean, I think their defense, I think Dave Durando did a heck of a job of getting those guys in the right position at the right times to make big-time plays and stop offenses. But, I mean, once I watched the tape, I mean, I seen how physical those guys played, and I knew that each and every rep when we had a chance to play those guys, that we had to bring each and every play because they were not going to back down from anyone, and they're definitely not going to back down from us when we played them. So it was a challenging game, but, I mean, we didn't get the win, but I enjoy each and every day because I love a challenge. And that's something I'm going to continue to do. So.
Got it. I do want to talk to you about a game where you did get the win, though. What was it like for you to win, you know, the battle for the golden egg, your last game at home? What did it mean to you to, you know, A, with the rivalry game, right, you know, get that W, but it's also your last game there? You know, can you just talk for a second about ending on a high note?
Oh, man, you're talking about a rivalry game. It's not hype as the, you know, I'm from Alabama. It's not as hype as the Auburn and Alabama game. But if you played in that game, the Ole Miss and Mississippi State game, you'll feel that rivalry. And it's very intense. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was my last game in Davis Wade. I mean, just going to be able to compete with my brothers. I mean, just and especially getting the win I mean, it was no better feeling to leaving David Wade with a great mark, not leaving it with a bad taste, losing the 8-Ball. And then I think it was my second 8-Ball in the row that I won. So I enjoyed it. And can't wait to see how Mississippi State do it again and get it this year. So I enjoyed it.
Got it. Now, as we get to the end here, I did just want to ask you a little bit more about the Shriners game. You know, what were your expectations heading into that week and the game itself? Like, just what was that overall experience like?
I made my mind up that week before heading to that game that I had to show my tail off. I had to compete at a high level. I had to show teams and organizations that I am that guy that they want to draft in this upcoming draft. I mean, I am that guy that plays physical, that plays nasty, that plays to the echo of the whistle. I have a great football IQ. I mean, I enjoy the game. I mean, I never quit on a play. I never question myself and my effort. But just going back throughout the week, I mean, I made sure I had to compete at a high level from the first drill to the last drill, from attacking warm-ups to the end of warm-ups. I mean, going to meetings on time, paying attention, writing down notes, taking notes, listening to what the coaches was telling us. Man, I think that was a big part of me being the person I was at that game. I think it showed throughout the whole week. And I think they said I had an excellent week throughout the week that I showed up on the game. So I think I did an excellent job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, before we get into the gauntlet to wrap things up, I have to ask, right, the draft is a couple months away. Have you given any thought to what you want to be doing that weekend?
The weekend of the draft?
Yeah.
I'll be at home in Alabama. I mean, I'll be at home. I'll be watching it with my family and my close friends, enjoying their time and just being able to be around the city of Bessemer. I mean, it's the city that I grew up ever since I was a kid. I mean, also just being able to have a watch party and just watch it and be around family and close friends. So I'm looking forward to that. So I will be in Bessemer, Alabama when the draft comes.
Awesome. All right. Well, Darryl, as I alluded to, the way that I wrap up the podcast here is just this little thing we call the gauntlet. So I got a couple quick hitter questions. I need to know what's your knee-jerk reaction. What's most important, having the number one offense or the number one defense?
Oh, most definitely number one defense. I mean, a defense that can stop people and a defense that can control the game. I mean, that's a big key. I always pick defense over offense.
Got it. Now, Choke, I need you to give a little props to one of your Hail State teammates. Who would you say is the most talented teammate that you had in the last 5 years?
Oh, man.
Outside of yourself, of course.
Jesus. In the last 5 years, you're talking about a lot of guys. I mean, we're known for D-line U. I mean, we got a lot of great D-linemen. So, oh, man. I got to say, I probably say Jeffrey Simmons, a guy that came to work each and every day and worked his tail off. Made me compete at a high level each and every day at practice. I mean, I think he's probably our most talented guy. I mean, I can't wait to see how he do the rest of his career with the Titans. I only think he was 100% and you see how he disrupted games. I can't wait to see how great he is once he's fully healthy and things of that nature. So.
Oh, yeah, the Titans are only going to get better. That's not even a question.
Most definitely.
Now, this year, though, if you have to give props to anyone that you played against, you know, just thinking about this past year, was there any one person that you want to give just a little shout-out to that was maybe even caught you off guard with how good they did or how intense they were, just someone on another team?
Oh, man, I got to give a credit to the nose guard for LSU. I mean, I seen his tape. I thought he took plays off a little bit, but he was a guy that when it came to game time, he was ready to play. I mean, I think he gave me my fair share, and I gave him his fair shares. But it was a great battle. But I think I give him his credit. I mean, he did an excellent job. And I think he's going to be a great player in the SEC. I can't wait to see how his career plays out of LSU, too, as well.
Yeah, maybe that's a Lawrence. I don't know. There's
not Lawrence. It's number 72. I can't remember his name. That's not Lawrence. Lawrence.
Oh, all right. Now, did you have a pregame ritual that you always stuck to?
Oh, man. The crazy part about my pregame ritual was, I mean, I always eat Skittles and pray. I mean, that was my ritual each and every game. I mean, I always say, like I said, my uncles always tell me to show up and show out. So I used to always write it on my arm and show up and show out each and every day. I also used to wear a shirt that had his pitch on it. But that was basically my ritual each and every Saturday.
That's awesome. And I think Marshawn Lynch would definitely approve too. Now, what's most important, the players or the scheme?
You said the players or the scheme?
Yep. If you had to pick one. I know it's really both.
I mean, I think it's the players. I mean, it got to be the players. I mean, the schemes. I mean, like I said, sometimes the schemes can fit players that make them great. But then sometimes schemes can make players look like they're not so great. So I think it's going to be the players. I mean, I also say the scheme as well, but I really think it's the players. So to make sure they pick the team, the right player to fit their scheme. So I think this is going to be the players.
Got it. And lastly, I think this is the most important question I ask you today, but what's the best piece of advice that you would give to a 16, 17-year-old kid that sees everything you've accomplished and that they want to be able to achieve the same?
Work their tail off. I mean, compete at a high level each and every rep. Never doubt yourself. Never give up on yourself. Always compete. I mean, never take a practice or a rep for granted, because you'll never know when it's your last. I mean, just go out there. I mean, go out there with a passion, a fire under you, knowing that you'll never know when it's your last game, your last rep. I mean, and just go out there and compete. I mean, that's something that I always do, go out there and compete. I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't the tallest. I mean, but I knew each and every Saturday and each and every rep, you're going to feel me for 60 minutes. And you're going to, after the game, you're going to say, man, 73 is the guy that's going to work his tail off each and every day. So, I mean, I think that was a key part of my success and continue to work and continue to compete at a high level. So I think that's a key part of me.
I love it. And Daryl, just lastly, where can everyone follow you on social media?
Oh, man, I got social media. I got Instagram, Daryl Williams Jr. is my name on Instagram. On Twitter is 73 underscore Daryl. Facebook is Daryl Williams Jr. Snapchat, I mean, I don't be on that like all of my media much, so. I mean,
there's so many of them.
Social medias.
Awesome. Well, Daryl, I can't wait to watch you continue to show up and show out for what I'm sure it's going to be a long career. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and just talk a little bit about your journey.
No problem. Thank you.